If I were to nominate the best Christian, now hear me carefully. If I were to nominate the best Christian in Hammond Baptist High School last year, at the end of the year, I may place a nomination, a young lady who was expelled. You say what? I say, according to the Scriptures, if I were to nominate the best Christian in Hammond Baptist High School last year, I may place a nomination, the name of a young lady who was expelled. I'm going to speak this morning on a startling subject. This is it. The best Christian in this room is not the best Christian in this room. Did you hear me? I'm speaking this on the subject, the best Christian in this room is not the best Christian in this room. I think it'll reveal something to you that'll help you, show you the great heart of God and the limitations of those of us who claim to be more mature. Our Father blessed the message this morning. It will not do one whit of good unless it's heard, not one bit. All of my praying, all of my preparing of my heart and mind will not do one bit of good unless the people listen. May they do so. Please give me their attention. Amen. What a startling statement. Look at me. What a startling statement. To say that the best Christian in Hammond Baptist High School at the end of the year may have been a young lady who was expelled in the last week or two. And what a startling statement to say the best Christian in this room is not the best Christian in this room. The person in this room this morning who is closest to God is probably not the best Christian in this room. The person this morning in this congregation who is the best soul winner is probably, in the sight of God, not the best Christian in this room. The most mature Christian in this room this morning is probably not the best Christian in this room. The best Bible student here this morning is not considered, probably not considered by God, as the best Bible student in this room. The most humble person in this room this morning is probably, in the sight of God, not the most humble person, are you listening, in this room. The most unselfish, the most mature, the one who prays the most, reads his Bible the most, goes soul winning the most, is probably not the best Christian in this room. Now listen carefully. A lot of you people desperately need what I'm about to say. I'm not sure that there's anything that our people need to hear anymore than what I'm about to say. I want you to notice that word, perfect. Now, I'm not going to expose my knowledge of Greek or expose my lack of knowledge of Greek, but I am going to say that that word, perfect, there be ye therefore perfect, that sentence, is in what the Greek calls the future indicative. To paraphrase it, It could be ye therefore becoming perfect. Be ye therefore becoming perfect. Or be ye therefore becoming mature. Now don't leave me now. Be ye therefore becoming perfect. Or be ye therefore becoming mature. Now, this little term is used in the original language, or in the Greek language. I'm talking about that, not talking now about the original Bible. I'm talking about in the Greek language. This little word is used like this. To be going to a given point. To be on your way to a given point. Did you hear anybody say, I have not yet arrived? That's what they mean. I'm going, as I quote, I guess a song I quote the most, is this. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And so the Lord said, be ye therefore perfect. He's saying, be ye therefore marching to a goal. It was used on this way, traveling toward a destination. Are you going on a trip? Are you going, let's say, to St. Louis, Missouri? Now, if you are in Bloomington, Illinois, you're on the freeway there, you are going to St. Louis, Missouri, if you continue on that highway. And the Lord says here, or the word is, traveling toward a destination. So when he says, be ye therefore perfect, he's saying, be ye therefore, be traveling toward perfection or maturity. Listen, hey, wake up. We're having church here. I want you to hear me. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't need to hear what is said from this pulpit. Slap yourself in the face, or better still, get some character and listen to what I'm saying. I'm not up here because it's Sunday morning and I'm supposed to holler for 30 minutes. I'm up here to help you, and I want you to listen to me while I help you. Now listen to me. The word perfect here, the term, was used concerning an Olympic athlete who was training for the Olympic Games. He was headed toward the gold medal. He was on his way toward, or a child growing to maturity. For example, anybody here ever have a baby? And somebody said, is your baby a perfect baby? Why, you said, sure, he's a perfect baby. But when diaper changing time came, some of the imperfections were revealed. But what you meant was, he's on his way. And then when he became a child, is he a perfect child? And the mom, oh yes, oh yes. But when time came to come in the house and didn't wipe his feet, off the mud off his feet and messed up the carpet, mother's opinion of his perfection, but he's on the way. And then he gets married. And on the honeymoon, the bride says, he's a perfect husband. And then 5 years later, let's go back now to the teaching here. Now, what does it mean? he's on the way. He's marching toward the destination. God is simply saying, be growing. Hence, I'm going to be careful now. Hence, when God says, be ye therefore perfect, he's saying, be ye therefore on your journey to the goal. Now, the best Christian in this house, here now, is not the person that's the closest to the goal, but the person that's traveled the most toward the goal recently. Which means some carnal fella who was in deep sin, like we had a fellow testify on the nationwide broadcast. We were on nationwide broadcast here. And fellow been saved. And I said, how do you feel since you got saved? And he said, and pardon me saying this, but he said, I feel a heck of a lot better. A fellow stood up one day in the service here to testify, and he said, I want to testify. He said, before I got saved, I was a drinker. He said, I was a wicked man. I also cursed off like a sailor. And I curse. And he said, I want to thank God. Since I got saved, haven't had a drink of liquor. And he said, I'm cutting down on my cursing more every day. Now, that was a crude way to put it, but that may have been the best Christian in the house. You see, it is not how close to the goal you are, it's how much ground you made up. It's what God determines as you're being a good Christian. And so when the Lord says, be ye therefore perfect, he's saying, get on the road. Be growing. Be going toward the goal. Be marching toward the destination. He's saying, be ye therefore being perfect. Be ye therefore getting perfect. Be ye therefore going toward perfection. That means the best soul winner in the room is not the one that wins the most souls. The best soul in the room is the one who in the last, say, 6 months has become a better soul winner than anybody else. The growth in soul winning. The person here this morning who's the best Bible student in the house is not the one that knows a lot of Bible. He probably is the one in God's sight who has learned more Bible recently. You know, there are folks in this house this morning, you haven't taken one step toward perfection in the last 5 years. There are folks in this room this morning who are, by the way, you are up there. You've grown, but you're not continuing to grow. Suppose the child grows mentally until he's 15 years of age and doesn't go after that. Now, he's older than a six-year-old child, but the six-year-old child is growing mentally, and the six-year-old child is more pleasing to God. We have folks in this room this morning who pray more than others, but you don't pray any more than you prayed 5 years ago. And you're not as good a Christian as a fellow who prays less than you do, but prays more than he did. You following me? I'm saying that a lot of you folks are hung up. You're stuck on a certain level. Now, it's a good level. And if we had a Bible test this morning, you might could win the Bible test or be in the top 10% of those who take the Bible test. But some little fella who's in the bottom 10% just might be, in the sight of God, a better Bible student than you are. Because be ye going towards your goal. Here's a fella who was a foot toward his goal 6 months ago. But he's 50 yards toward the goal now, and you were 75 yards 6 months ago, and you're 75 yards now. He's a better Christian than you are. He's a better soul winner than you are. He's a better Bible student than you are. He's a better prayer than you are. And it's so easy in a church like this for a person to grow in grace till he gets to a certain plateau where he does love the Bible, he does pray, he does go soul winning, but doesn't increase it any. Look, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Good night, probably the greatest Christian ever walked the face of this earth. He said, I have not yet apprehended. But he said, one thing I do, I press forward toward the goal. He said, I'm pressing forward. I'm still growing. I'm still running. And there are some people in this room this morning who are the best Bible students in this room with whom God is not pleased. There are some Christians in this room this morning who are among the best prayers in this room of whom God is not pleased. There are folks this morning in this room who are among the best soul winners in this room of whom God is not pleased. And God bypasses some of us who've been saved for years and reached a plateau higher than others and stayed there and goes to some little fella, doesn't know all the cliches, doesn't know all the Christian vocabulary, doesn't know all the proper things to say, but he was way down in sin and he's grown from way down here to up here while you've grown from here to here and been stagnant, and God sees him as more perfect than he sees you. That means, conversely so, the best Christian in this room may be the worst Christian in this room. Did you hear me? I said the best Christian in this room may be the worst Christian in this room. And the most mature Christian in this room may be the least mature Christian in this room. And the person that is closest to God may be the worst Christian here. Did you hear me? I said the person closest to God may be the worst Christian in this room. Hey, you take some of these little old kids that come out of Chicago. Some of these old teenagers over there. Been in a gang somewhere. Been on dope. Brother, I mean, they have grown to give up their dope. Some of these little girls never had a dress, never owned a dress. They're 16, 17 years of age, never owned a dress in their lives. They don't know who their daddy is, much less where their daddy is. And they come out here, and they hear the gospel of redeeming grace, and they put their trust in Christ Jesus, and they're taught to say, yes, sir, and no, sir, and they come out of the gutter. They may not can find John 3:16 yet, but thank God they've come a long ways. And God sees them as better Christians than some of you old sot Christians who've been saved for 50 years or 40 years or 30 years and have grown to a high, elevated position in Christ, but you're not growing. God's not concerned about where you are. He's concerned about where you were, how far you've come. That means some are parked and stationary. That means some of the best Bible students here, God does not see you as such. And that means some of the worst Bible students here, God sees you as the best. Now, I want you to hear me. Listen carefully now. Time is fleeting. I've got to quit in a few minutes, but I want you to hear me. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful, blessed truth? Notice here how patient God is. He is willing to wait on us as long as he sees us coming. It matters not how far we are, as long as God sees it. If we're running, he'll wait for us. If we're walking, he'll wait for us. Or if we're crawling, he'll wait for us. As long as he sees us coming, God will wait for us. Boy, I wish we were that way. How patient God is. Also, notice this. God only expects you to be on your way. Oh, I love that. That's all he... Look, you may have had 100 miles to come, and you may be 99 miles away, but God just expects you to be on your way. I've said this so often. I don't expect everybody in this room to practice everything I preach. I wish you did, but I don't expect it. I don't expect everybody in this room to agree with everything I preach. I wish you did, but I don't expect it. All I ask of you is let me see some growth. That's all I want. I mean, if you smoke cigarettes, cut them in half and smoke a half at a time. Just let me see you some growth. And God says that. God says, be getting there. Be on your way there. And a lot of you people look down your noses at some people that are more carnal when the truth is God sees them as more spiritual than you are because they're on their way and you're stuck. And brother, that's what Pharisaism is. Pharisaism is a person that has not grown in years, who's right where he used to be, and who's not grown in years, but he's so much higher than a fellow who's been growing, he looks down on the fellow and will not wait till that fellow gets where he is, brother. If they're moving on the way, let's thank God for them. And let's give them patience and long-suffering and understanding and love and kindness. God says, he isn't even telling you how fast to grow. Now, God wants you to grow fast. But God isn't demanding how fast you grow. He just said, let me see some growth. And as long, are you listening? As long as God can see a little growth, God says, you're doing what I said. Be ye being mature. Be ye being perfect. Be ye on your way to maturity. Listen. Are you concerned because your little baby, when he tries to feed himself, he gets his food in his ear? Are you surprised? Are you worried and concerned? Little child picks up his spoon and pours the food in his hand and does it right there, holds his spoon right here. Are you worried? No, not if he's a year old. But you're worried if he's 10. Now, all you expect is to see him grow. Is that right? You don't expect the child to put his napkin over his lap when he's 6 months old and get the fork that's over here for the salad and use the next fork for the vegetables and cut up his steak. You don't expect it. And God does it. Oh, now we do. We Pharisees do. Oh, brother, you got saved last Sunday, and I heard you say a bad word this week. Well, I know some of you folks got saved 40 years ago, and you still every once in a while stumble a bit, too. But, brother, if he says 5 bad words this week and said 10 last week, he's moving. And if he says 4 next week, he's on his way. And God said, just let me see you move. I want you to move quickly. But if you don't, he said, I'll still accept you and wait for you. If I just see you moving a little bit, doesn't matter how much you grow, as long as you're growing. Now hold it. It pleases God more when you go faster. But God accepts it if you're growing slower. He also may be the least pleased this morning with the most spiritual person in this room. Did you hear me? Some of the biggest displeasure, some of the biggest displeasing folks to God in this room this morning are those who pray the most. Did you hear me? I said some of the people this morning in this room who are the biggest backsliders are those who pray the most. God doesn't say, be first place. God says, grow. God says, be ye therefore on your way to maturity. And there are people all of this room this morning who are way up yonder. I mean, you read your Bible, you memorize the Bible, and you pray, and you come to church, but you are not growing. And God says, let me see you move. Did you know that's why sometimes God reaches down to the best Christian family in the church, the most mature family, and punishes them. And you say, I don't understand why God did that to them. Why, if there's a good family in this church, it's them. God's not concerned about how good you are. He's concerned about how much better you've been getting. And God said, if you want to please me, He said, be ye therefore perfect. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute now. It says, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, He's got a goal too. His goal is to get you to your goal. And as you get closer to your goal, God's getting closer to His goal. So it says, be ye therefore on your way to your goal as God is on His way to His goal. Now God's goal is not maturity. God's already mature. He's the Ancient of Days. He never changes. He's already mature. But God's goal is to get you to your goal. So what He's saying here is be on your way to your goal so God can be on the way to His goal, because God has something for you to do. And what Paul is saying is this. He's saying if you're a baby Christian, and you look up and you see people that are so mature in the Lord, don't get discouraged. You look and see if you've moved a bit, and then that's all God expects. Now, we may knock you down. We may knock you down. We may stomp you. But God says, not me. As long as you're on your way. We're so prone to be impatient. I go back to the illustration I started with. We had a young lady in our high school this year. Got expelled in the last week or two. I know her. And she's got a long ways to go. But brother, if you had known her in the first of the year and the last of the year, she got almost all of her demerits, first part. And then she came within just a hair's breadth of getting expelled, and she stayed there on the line like that, trying to keep from going over, and finally one day she slipped and went over because she started to a class. But, as far as I'm concerned, that girl probably grew more last year than any person in Hammond Baptist High School. As far as God's concerned, she's more perfect than the Pharisee wouldn't speak to her. She's on her way! She got expelled! But brother, God said, I've got more respect for the person that came from an F to a D than a person that came from B to a B. Because you're going up. Get this statement. We compare them with what we want them to be. God compares them to what they used to be. We judge by how close to the finish line, in and out. We judge by how close to the finish line they are. God judges by how far away the starting line they are. We judge by how close they are to the finish line. God judges by if they're moving toward the finish line or not. And I'll guarantee you, you take some of these little old crude Christians, guy that says, I feel a heck of a lot better. I'm not suggesting that kind of language. I'm just saying that's the way he felt. He didn't know any other language. I told you about the little lady that she got saved. I wanted a Christ. She got saved. She was happy. I've never seen a happier new convert. She said, you think I'm saved? Yeah. Church Christ, right. Amen. Okay, I'm going to heaven. Hey, I feel so good. She ran in the kitchen. She got a bottle of liquor. She came back. She got two glasses. She poured one for me. She poured one for her. And she said, I'm so happy. Let's drink to it. Now, you slapped the glass out of her face and said, you worldly person, I don't think you're saved. You know why? Because you're way up here. Brother, she's way down here. And she'd come a little bit. And I think in heaven, God bowed his head and blushed and said, amen. She's on her way. Be ye perfect as your Father's perfect. Be ye on your way. Oh, if there's a thing the First Baptist Church of Hammond needs, it's to stop to realize that a lot of these little old crude Christians running around here that are bothering us and causing trouble and don't know all the cliches and all the vocabulary and all the ritual and they're bothering us. God just may look down and say, that's the best Christian in that church. Because he had so far to come. He had so far to come. As he is, we're to be perfect as he is. God is not telling us today to be without sin. He knows we'll never be without sin. God uses an Olympic term, a growing child's term, a racer's term, and God says, be ye therefore, be on your way to maturity. And I'd like to stand this morning, and I'd like to say we've got some folks in this room right now that still smoke cigarettes. That have been a Christian. Some of you folks haven't smoked in 30 years. You don't understand it, people. One man said to me, he said, Brother Hiles, you understand me? I said, when I was 5 years old, my daddy got me drunk. He said, when I was 5 years old, my dad took me to the bar and made me drink and got me drunk. He said, not just one time, but time after time. Why, he said, by the time I was 10 years old, I was a confirmed alcoholic. He said, preacher, you don't understand. He said, I don't drink anymore. But preacher, you can't comprehend the battle I have to fight. And God looks down to some fellow like that and looks on more grace with him, toward him, than does some of you people that reared in the church and reared in a good Christian home. Now, I'm not saying I'm not against Christian homes. I'm not saying I'm for them. I'll tell you what I am for. I'm for you and I getting God-like enough to where we look down the line, if we see them just oozing forward, we say amen. And we stand on the sideline and say, move, run, rah, 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 go, go, go. They have not yet arrived. You want them to arrive in 6 weeks, the place where it took you 15 years to arrive. But God said, just let me see some growth. Now look at me, I'm finished. I'm talking to hundreds of folks in this room this morning. If we gave a Bible test, you'd be in the top 10%. If we counted the hours you prayed this week, you'd be in the top 10%. But you're not being perfect. You're not becoming perfect. You're not growing. I want to say this, and I mean it with all my heart. I love this Bible more today than I loved it a year ago. I spend more time with God today than I did a year ago. I spend more time telling folks about Christ today than I did a year ago. I spend more time on my face than I did a year ago. I'm happier in Christ than I was a year ago. I'm saying, I want to keep on growing. You know why? Because every step I grow, it just gets better and better and better and better all the time. Some of you dear people, you remember this church when I came, many of you, or I've been here 20 years, 25 years. And you're wonderful people, but you're on a plateau. You've gotten to a place where you're a good enough Christian, where folks think you're a good enough Christian, where you don't think you need to grow anymore. God says, be on the way you go. I'll close with this. I used this in a sermon I preached years ago here, and once a year I preach it somewhere across the country. A lot of you people have grown to a certain place, but you have not yet grown to the place to where heaven's going to be a brief step for you. You know, when I die and go to heaven, it won't change my schedule much. No. I get in my room sometime and just start praising God and clapping my hands, and if I died, I wouldn't break stride. I get in my room, read this book, and read it and love it, and read it and love it. If I drop dead, I just keep on reading it and loving it. A lot of you folks get to heaven, you won't enjoy it very much because you have not continued to grow. And God is not judging you today. Some of you folks have hot tempers. Now, well, but because you go to church, because you teach a Sunday school class, you've arrived at a certain place in your life, and the truth is, God looks at you and sees some little carnal Christian as better than you are because your temper's not getting any better. It's time some of you folks got unstuck. God's not pleased with you. You say, preacher, I read my Bible 15 minutes a day, but God's not pleased unless you're more than you used to be. And I want to say a word not only to those. I want to say a word to those of you. You just don't think you can hardly breathe in the Christian life. I mean, you look and see how far you've got to go, and you say, I just give up. No, don't you give up. No. As long as you can see more distance between you and the starting post than you could last month, God says, more power to you. You're my kind. You're on your way. And I'm proud of you. And then I say to the rest of us, let's let them have time. If they put the food in their ear as long as last week they got it on the back of their head, let's rejoice in it. If this week they get it in their nose, then rejoice in it, because that's closer to your mouth than your ear is. And as long as we see them as they continue to get closer and closer to the finish line, it matters not how fast they go, it matters not how soon they get here, as long as they're on the way, let's say, blessed be God, and praise the Lord. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father, bless them.